Our text for this cantate, the fifth Sunday of Easter, is taken from the second chapter of the first epistle of St. Peter. We will read from verses 1 through 10 in that second chapter. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, where we read in the name of our Lord. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we come to you again this day, acknowledging you as Lord and Savior. And we pray, Father, once again, that you would quicken us through your word. Establish us, grant us, Father, to be built up upon that foundation that you have laid in the apostles, that by that word, Father, we may come to the chief cornerstone, the living stone, Jesus the Christ. And simply, Father, find our joy in being found in him. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. We come to this passage of St. Peter. You understand that this flows essentially out of the first chapter of St. Peter, where he talks about very clearly, he says, you're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And how? By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. He says, you were born again to understand very clearly that we've been brought into a new life, to understand that it's now by the power of this life that we live. And as Colin just read, that's just so pretty to listen to those boys read. And you understand very clearly the sense of what Jesus was saying. He said, when Satan came, he said, the prince of this world is coming, he says, but he has nothing in me. Now that word can go by us and we don't understand what he's saying. What he's saying is he has nothing in me, but he had a lot on us. What Jesus was saying is Satan had a lot on us. We were sinners. And we were going to be found out for exactly what we are. Jesus says, he has nothing on me, but that the world would know that I love the Father and that the Father loves me. He says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So that we would understand the love of the Father, that we would realize and we would see the love of the Father, that we would understand that what Satan had on us, he had nothing on Jesus Christ. But what Satan had on us, because we are sinners right to the core, Jesus took away. That Jesus took that away. Jesus went to that cross for us. Jesus went through what he did for us, in order that we would know his salvation. And that's exactly what St. Peter says. St. Peter says this, and the King James kind of does this translation in a funny way. I don't know why they did. This is, well, that's not going to mean much to you. It's an aorist participle in Greek. And actually what it means is, therefore, because you have put off all badness and deceit, not laying it aside, not that you're active in trying to lay it aside. He says it's an aorist participle, which means it's emphasizing a finished work. He says very clearly, because you have put off all of this badness and deceit. He says, because you've been born again. He says, because you have been born again. Now he says, you have put off all badness, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all cutting down with speech. And he uses a very interesting word in Greek. He says, as just born infants. He says, just freshly born. So, Leon, you're an old man, according to this. You know, he's talking here about just freshly born. He says, as freshly born infants, deeply desire. And then he uses the term logical, actually, is the meaning of this term. Says, what actually goes with this? What's logical for this? He says, and without deceit, uses that same term, without deceit milk. He says, you need to be fed. You need to be fed by what's right. You need to understand what is right. He says, now, having this behind you, having been born again through the finished work of Jesus Christ, now you're feeding on something. You're feeding on something, he says, and that by this something that you feed upon, which he speaks about as milk, that you would grow up, that you would grow into your salvation. In other words, he saved us. He saved us so that we would understand, and now this is the way that we would live. We would live in this salvation. We would live by the power of it. That we would understand now, this is what he did for us. Satan had nothing on him. He had a ton on us. God came and sent his son in the flesh in order to take that away. So that now, with that taken away, now this is what we would live for. So that you would understand. He says, if you have tasted that the Lord, King James renders it gracious. Actually, this is a very interesting word, Christos in Greek. It actually means to be like good. You could talk about it as good or being something that is along the lines of like being reliable, something that's useful, something that's beneficial. He says, if you understand that God has done this work for you, then he's feeding you. And what he's feeding you, you should understand to be useful. What he's telling you is useful. So that you would understand and you would realize that by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been cleansed from your sin. That by the blood of Jesus Christ, you would live now in this new way. That by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are born again. And if you're born again, you aren't still living in the old thing. You're alive to God in Jesus Christ. That's why the season of Easter is so long. And we should make it a lot longer. So that we would understand we're alive. We're living. We're living. We're living. Living. Oh, church people, it's hard to get through. We're living. We're alive. We're alive. We're living every day in the joy of our salvation. We're living in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're living in our God. We're living. And that's why St. Peter says this. He says, you've been born again just like freshly born babies. Now you're being fed so that you would be strengthened and you would know this. And you would live in this joy of understanding this. And that's why he says, to whom now you come. You come to a living stone, he says. You come to a living rock. And of course, you understand St. Peter's confession. And St. Peter was told, you're a rock. He says to understand that on this rock I will build my church, the confession of Jesus Christ. To understand very clearly that now it's in Jesus Christ that you have been built and established as a living being. He says, so you come to this living stone. He says, that living stone was rejected by human beings. They didn't think he was much. And he says, but now you yourselves, you recognize how valuable this stone is. He says that this stone is the most precious of stones. But you also need to realize, so are you. He says, you yourselves as living stones are being built into a spiritual house. You're being built up into a new house. He says, for a consecrated priesthood, because now you've been set aside, which is what consecrated means. You've been set aside to serve the function of a priest. And what does a free priest do? A priest offers sacrifices. And he says, and you offer spiritual sacrifices. And that's us. We are offered to God, as Romans says, as a spiritual sacrifice. God receives us as a spiritual sacrifice. And God, in his grace and his mercy, finds us acceptable. He receives that sacrifice, as Peter says, through Jesus Christ. He receives the sacrifice that we bring. You have been received by your God as a precious sacrifice, holy in his sight, each and every one of us. We have been received in the fullness of the mercy and grace of God as a sacrifice to God. And we're being built into a structure that is greater than any structure that human engineering can conceive of, a perfect structure, where each stone is laid perfectly, where each one of them has their proper place and is understood in this wonderful temple. And that's why it says, for this reason also, it contains in the writing, look, I'm placing in Zion a cornerstone, chosen, invaluable, and the person who has faith in him will never, ever be put to shame. Never, ever. He says, never, ever will we ever be disappointed in this faith. He says, we will never receive disappointment. As long as we're counting on God through Jesus Christ, we will receive exactly what he has promised. And we will live in the fullness of his power and his grace by the power of his Holy Spirit. And we will know his salvation. Every day of our life, we will know his salvation. And here's the real bonus, that life never ends. Every day of our life, we will know his salvation. And that life will never end. Never. Hallelujah. It will be forever. Eternal. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about. This is what he's saying. So that we would understand that this is the way that we would live. As a new temple building. Perfect stones in Jesus the Christ. By the power of his resurrection. He says, and unto all of us who believe. He says, he is precious. He is precious. He is amazingly precious. He says, to those that don't believe, of course, he's not. But he becomes a stumbling stone to them. And this isn't a bad thing. What he means by this is that he becomes a rock of an offense in order to awaken them to understand, so that they would understand the precious stone that has been laid right before them. And that they would want to partake of this. He says, this is their appointment. He says, in other words, this is what he wants for them, to be able to understand this, so that they would repent and they would turn and they would come to him, and he would save them. Because this is the whole point. The stone was rejected by the builders, as Isaiah says. The stone was rejected, but it became the main cornerstone. It holds the whole temple together, Jesus the Christ. And these people have stumbled over the word because they're disobedient to it. And that they were placed into because God rendered that disobedience upon all of us. He says that in Romans 8. He subjected the world to nonsense so that we would be saved. And this is what we need to understand of the gospel. The gospel is given so that people would be saved. So that we who are among the saved would be able to go out and proclaim the gospel, to understand. And that's why he says, now you yourselves are a chosen race. He says, you're a kingly priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people for an acquired possession. So look at yourselves. Because that's what he says. You are this. He says, you are a chosen group of people. You are a kingly priesthood. You are a consecrated nation. And he says, a people for God's acquired possession. In other words, because he wanted us so badly that he was willing to send his son to suffer and die for us. How does it get any better? I don't know how it can. Honest to goodness, I don't know how it can get any better. What he says about us is so amazing. And the hardest thing for us to get through our head is to think that way, is to actually think the way he thinks. But we're much, much better off to think the way he thinks. And that's what he says about us. See, we understand this, and that's why I love this. I love this. I love this. We should have done this years ago. We should have been doing this in the church forever. We should have had kids reading in the church forever. Because you understand, when those kids get up in front, we all look at those kids and we think, how precious, you know, how wonderful is that? How great is that? Out of the mouths of babes, the scripture says. You know, you hear this word, but do you understand? God looks at you the same way. Exactly the same way God looks at each and every one of us, a precious, precious, precious child. And when the word comes out of our mouths, do we realize the joy that God has in knowing that he has filled us with that word so that we speak that by which we are saved and we understand the fullness of his salvation and we know its joy. And we know its power every day of our life. We know that our sins are forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. We know his peace. We know his forgiveness. I'm not telling that to you as a wish. And I'm not telling you if you do this, that, or the other thing, that then you can have that. That's garbage. Your sins are forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. You are fully provided for through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you have life, and you have grace, and you have it for eternity. And that's the reality of the joy of salvation. David was not rejoicing in the joy of salvation, hoping that maybe it would happen. David understood very clearly the promise of the Lord was such that he would be delivered. And Jesus, his only true righteous son, came and delivered him so that we would understand and know the joy of this salvation and we would realize it and we would live in it every day in our life. For what purpose? He says, so that you would announce the virtues of him who out of darkness called you into his amazing light. So we would just talk about how good God is. That's what he says. So that what our conversation would be about would not be about the Chinese, and it would not be about AI. Because all human intelligence is artificial anyways. That it would not be about things that, honest to goodness, we can't do diddly squat about anyways. But what we would talk about, what would be on our lips, what we would speak of, is the goodness of our God. The goodness of our God. That he receives people in the power of the gospel, and he gives them life. He gave us life. He gave it to us freely. He gave it to us abundantly, and he gave it to us so that we would enjoy it, that we would know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says, because you were once not a people, all of us who are of Gentiles stock, he says, you were once not a people. He says, but now you're God's people. And he says, and you were once no mercy. You had no mercy. He says, now. He says, you have received mercy. And we have received mercy. In its fullness, we have received mercy. Because God is merciful. Because God loves his creation. And God was not content to see us perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because if you believe this, then you have everything. You have everything. And now you're just free to live. Free to live. The burden's been lifted. Don't put it back on. It's been lifted. Be free and live in his grace. And today you come for his supper because he invites you to freely come. He just says, yep, you come. You come. He says, I will feed you, I will strengthen you. I will embolden you, and I will give you grace so that you may know your sins are forgiven and you are a child of the living God. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for this word. What a beautiful thing St. Peter wrote by the inspiration of your Spirit. That, Father, we would know the glory and the joy of your salvation and understand the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord. And, Father, as we gather together, that we gather together as your very own children, a holy temple built up of sacred holy stones, shaped in the image of that precious cornerstone. And by his life, we live. So we pray, Father, this day that you would quicken and strengthen us through the supper. That, Father, we would know that we would abide in your peace, that we would leave this building this day with the same and come back for more of it. Because, Father, we can never exhaust it. Glory be to your name and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit forever and ever, Father. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Now let us pray with and for them who now will partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, bread of life,